Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Tanya the Communication Doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tally the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Harvey Deutschendorf. And Harvey Deutschendorf is an emotional intelligence expert. Hello, Harvey. Welcome.
Hello, Tanya. Good to be on the show.
It's lovely to have you here today. And the other thing I may add is, but it's lovely to have somebody from across the water. So you're calling now from Canada, and yes. I am here in London, Hackney, and it's just lovely to have that link as well and to be able to speak to somebody, you know, who is accomplished as yourself within emotional intelligence. And before I get going, I'd like to say that emotional intelligence is very, very important to me, and it has a special place in my heart in terms of understanding somebody from an empathic and compassionate angle. And I just want to start off with saying that you are also the author of The Other Kind of Smart, which is a really, really lovely book with regards to emotional. I've only looked at some of it. I've not looked at all of it. but I suppose it's really interesting because, you know, a lot of times when you talk about emotional intelligence, a lot of people often think of people like Daniel Goleman. It's so nice to widen that and to speak to someone like yourself, Harvey. So I'm going to throw you straight in and ask you how you got into this kind of emotional intelligence industry, really.
Yeah, well, Danny, it's, you know, I guess I'll start right back with my family history and how that brought me eventually to get into emotional intelligence. But my parents came over to Canada after the Second World War as refugees, and they had lost everything during the war and had nothing. They had to borrow money from their church for passage, and they came to Canada, and for at least the first 12 years of my life, they brought her. My younger brother was, I think, 2 years old too. He came over from Europe, and I was born in Canada. But the first 12 years, we were desperately poor. There's some days that my mother was told us that, you know, she fed my brother and I on an orange a day. I can't remember any of that. You know, I'm lucky, I guess. But we were very desperately poor. My parents were not well educated. My father was, he could write his name, but he was basically illiterate. And my mother was the well-educated one. I think she had a grade three. But she did not want to leave Europe. The rest of the family resettled in Europe, but we had a few distant relatives that came to Canada, but most of them resettled in Europe. So basically we left without any kind of a support system. My mother didn't want to leave. She wanted to stay with the rest of the family. My father wanted to be independent. So there wasn't the opportunity to do that in Europe. So he wanted to come to Canada. we're very poor. I mean, a lot of the name where we lived, there were, you know, a lot of poor people. It wasn't exactly a nice, you know, an upscale neighborhood. But so I wasn't really aware of how poor we were. But I was always a dreamer. I wanted more from life. I wanted to see the world. I He was always had great ambitions and desires, and but didn't know how I was going to exactly achieve them. But I saw education as being my way out, and fortunately, I did well in school, and I was able to go to university. I graduated. I felt very much like an outsider, like I didn't fit in or belong. But I did graduate, and I was working as a professional. I was actually a social worker, life should have been great because I had moved far beyond what anybody in my family did. I don't think anybody in my family went to university, and life should have been great. I should have been overjoyed and happy, but that wasn't the case. There was something missing. I wasn't very happy, you know, in my career. I didn't have the relationships that I wanted to have. And I should say my family, there was a lot of dysfunction. There was a lot of fighting. My parents and my father turned out to be quite abusive as well towards everybody. And so I, you know, life wasn't going as well as I thought it should. I'd read a lot of self-help books, trying to figure things out for myself and nothing. And then one day I picked up, I heard about a book by Daniel Goleman called Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More than IQ. And I picked it up and I started reading it, and it just sort of jumped. I had an aha moment. Things just sort of jumped out at me, and I said, this is it. This is the answer. This is the reason my life isn't going the way I would like it to is because my emotional situation condition is because, you know, there's so much negativity growing up, and I was stuck in this, in all of this. And I thought, if I could turn that around. So I really, really got into it. It just sort of took over my life. This is 25 years ago or so. And I started studying as much as I could about emotional intelligence. I started speaking about it long before I'd even written my book. And I went to a, there's a men's group that was starting where I lived in Edmonton here. And there's an organization called the Mankind Project that was really starting up during that time. I got involved, and it's an organization where men get together, and it's a safe place to actually talk about things like feelings that men don't normally talk about, and things like that. So yeah, I really got involved, and I started really working on myself, working on my own feelings. And again, I started studying emotional intelligence, and I kept going to Mankind, and I noticed my life was slowly changing. And excuse me. And then I realized that after a while that, you know, this was very, very powerful emotional intelligence, but all the books on the topic were either very academic, like Goleman's book, they were very much focused on, totally business focused. Yeah. So I decided somebody needed to write a book that could share this powerful information in a very friendly, highly accessible way for people to use. So I decided, well, I'm a somebody, you know. I had written a book before that, actually a men's book, and long before I heard about emotional intelligence, and I got that published. So I decided to go ahead and write a book. And excuse me, my life is sort of, so emotional intelligence has sort of taken over my life. It's become my sort of mission and purpose. So I'm now very fortunate that I'm sharing all this with the world. I'm speaking, I'm writing,
You know what? I love your honesty, Harvey. It's really interesting just to listen to you and to hear your journey kind of from being a refugee to like settling in Europe and moving around. But one of the things that really came to me as you were talking about education was I was thinking about Nelson Mandela, because you know, when Nelson Mandela talked about education being a key to success, and I suppose like when you said when you educated yourself, coming from a family where, you know, your father was illiterate and, you know, there was poverty there,
Yes.
That you found that kind of way. And I feel that's so powerful because, I mean, living in England, education is free. And me being a teacher myself, my background's teaching, it was always interesting when I worked in inner city schools with regard to behaviour management, because it was lovely. I mean, I didn't really have any issues with behaviour management, but it was interesting how some children take education for granted because it's free. So they take it for granted and don't realise where it can take them. And you kind of have to educate them as a teacher and say, look, this is your key. And I often would mention Nelson Mandela's quote about education being the key, you know, being that way, that passage to another world, another journey. And
yes.
I suppose you've proven that just with just listening to you with your journey. And also another thing that you hit on is something that I often talk about is men not talking. I'm quite passionate about mental health myself. And I think, you know, the rate of suicides in this country is generally the highest is within men. So, and that's normally due to the fact, I feel, that men do not communicate enough. And there's been, you know, Mental Health Awareness Week. There's been a lot over the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years. There's been a lot more stuff with regards to mental health that it's been more in the public eye, and celebrities are coming out and speaking about their own mental health, whereas before it was a bit taboo and nobody spoke about it. So when you mentioned that you used to go to the Mankind and talk openly, for me that's really, 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 really powerful because it's just so important. But I want to ask you a question though. I want to go a little bit back because you did mention poverty several times. I was listening, you mentioned it several times. And for me, I almost felt that pain of it, but I always feel within the pain there sometimes is lightness. And I was just wondering if there was a time where you kind of would say you could picture or notice the light within that situation.
Well, yeah, I, in my family, it was my, it was a struggle getting out of my, sort of the family. The family dynamics sort of never, ever, ever changed. All I did was, I had to basically escape and I had to go out into the world basically on my own without any real support. And that was very, very difficult because, even though family was dysfunctional, there's nothing else out there for me. It took me a long time to develop the kind of support system that I, you know, would feel comfortable with and would sort of be supportive of me. In the family dynamics, it was always blaming one another for anything that that went wrong. It was very, very negative, and so I had to learn sort of from scratch how to be a person who was supportive of others, how to make good friends, how to be the type of person that other people wanted to be around or wanted to be with. I sort of slowly started learning that in the men's group where I was supported, but also challenged as well. And the thing about men is that there's a higher suicide rate, especially amongst men that are unemployed than there are women. Maybe it's catching up now with women too, but they only have value. Their whole value seems to be based on their career, on their work, and if they don't have that, they don't see themselves as having any value. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that men don't typically haven't had a support system. A lot of men maybe don't even have a single friend they can talk to, so when things aren't going well, they're basically all alone, whereas women, I think, more so have developed support systems. You know, they have friends, they talk to one another about their feelings, what matters to them. So that's one thing I think the Mankind Project is really, really changing and doing wonderful work at changing that for men. So they're not basically all alone when they're struggling. They have that support.
No, that's great. I think the Mankind charity, it's amazing if it helps men, because from what you said, just listening to you from the outside, it feels to me that that was your light. Going to that man's group was your light, was your so-called journey to lightness, or your journey to, you know, seeing that, okay, there's someone there I can talk to, I can release my feelings. I suppose it does feel like you hold your feelings inside of you, don't you? And the moment you talk, it's like you release them, and it becomes like that burden has been lifted, all that weight lifted off your shoulders, and you're able to then connect on that level. So I just find that interesting as you're talking there about Mankind being that place, and from that place is where, you know, you want to write a book to help others. And it's interesting because I've got emotional intelligence right here, and I've also got focus. I've got emotional intelligence and focus. Those are the two kind of Daniel Goleman books which I've read. Mm-hmm. And you're very right in saying that the book is very much based from a business perspective on looking at it from the emotional intelligence with regards to leadership, you know, empathy, leadership. But also, I think it's the emotional intelligence. It has a lot of case studies in it as well, which I found quite fascinating. I think there's one where he talks about, he does a case study on a doctor, and the doctor's so much in his head as he's talking with him, it's almost like he takes the time to actually really connect emotionally. And I found that interesting because would you say, is that a male thing? Because like you also mentioned with regards to the career being so important for a man, but sometimes it must be hard to have that connection. Because I always say some people communicate with their head and some people communicate with their heart. I mean, that's my understanding. And when you're heart-led, it's a different conversation, sometimes men are so much in their heads a lot of the time because they're carrying so much responsibility and expectation of others, whether it's the expectation of their children, of their wife, of the family. They're carrying all of this in their heads. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the whole thing of compassion, love, connection can sometimes get lost. What do you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things we really focus on in the Mankind Project, when we have our meetings, is we try to get men to, you know, speak from their heart, share their feelings, and we're always trying to for some men that's very difficult. They're always in their head. We try to refocus and we try to get them to talk about how they're feeling, where their feelings are in their body, that type of thing. But for most men, that's a whole new concept, a whole new idea, and it's quite frightening. The one thing that the Mankind Project did for me is I had a hard time. It's only probably the last 15 years or so that I've been able to share my story, talk about my background, my past, because I felt a tremendous amount of shame about growing up in the circumstances of the family that I did, and I didn't want to tell anybody. I basically kept it hidden. I tried to. I remember conversations, you know, when I went to university. Of course, most of the majority of people at university are, you know, sort of middle class backgrounds or upper middle class, and you know, they would talk about their families going on vacation and things they did with their families, and I just felt, you know, I wanted the conversation to change, to end, because I had nothing to share. My family never went on vacation. I mean, they survived. They, you know, basically worked, ate, slept, and, you know, visited with a few people, but that was life. I hadn't experienced the life that the other students that I've been going to university with had experienced. So I felt very, very, a great deal of shame and not fitting in. And, you know, the Mankind Project, more than anything, helped me sort of find that, you know, I was okay. It was okay being this way. I mean, everybody there had something that they were ashamed of, that they weren't good with, and that I found out that, hey, most families were dysfunctional. I mean, there was problems. Yeah, I mean, so I wasn't alone. I mean, everybody grew up with some sort of issue in their family that really they were ashamed of, or that they didn't even want to share with others. So I felt very good, and I slowly started to open up and be more comfortable sharing my story. Yeah.
No, that's brilliant, actually. It's almost like what you're saying. I think what you learn, as you said along the way, is that dysfunction is the norm.
Yes, it is.
Like you say, it's the shame, and it's everybody holds it in. But, you know, if some people try to portray this perfect or this guru status or this guru family, or even sometimes women do, like make out that I'm coping really well. This is, my life is amazing from the outside. And that's why I feel social media is quite dangerous in that way, because you could have this whole perception of someone just through social media. And then when you meet them and you see, you dive in deep and see their lives, and you realize actually there's dysfunction here too. And I think that's a real great learning, I think, for myself as well, to realize that there's this dysfunction in everybody's family. And it's not just you that are going through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff, because life's a space to learn, isn't it? It's a space to have these lessons.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, that was a revelation when you kind of notice that, because you can let go of blame, you can let go of fear, and you can let go of, you know, you start forgiving people and let go of a lot of emotional trauma, I suppose, you know, when you realize somebody else has gone through that. That's why I started Real Stories. Because I want people to know that everybody goes through something. And I think that when people are listening, hopefully there'll be some men listening to this that will be able to resonate with your story and understand, you know, I had that similar experience. And I think in some ways it can help others just by talking, because talking is really powerful, you know. What do you feel, Harvey?
Absolutely. And just wanted to, it's very, very powerful in being able to share your story with others who will listen and be supportive. And in the the Mankind Project, the one thing we always say is all your feelings are welcome here. So anything you need to share, you need to bring out, you know, all your anger, all your joy, everything is welcome here. It's a safe place to express your feelings, which is really interesting, because a lot of times in our lives we can't share. It's not safe. So this provides men with a safe place. And just wanted to mention that the Mankind Project now, I mean, it started in the US, but it's now quite active in the UK and and many countries on the continent: France, Germany, South Africa, Australia. It's become quite a global organization, so that men, you know, in London and England that are looking for, they could just go online and check the Mankind Project. There's probably a group somewhere operating that's close to you that you can get in contact with.
Oh, that's brilliant. I think that's so important as well, that people can learn about, you know, how they can get that help or how they can get that support. What's something, just in terms of giving back, I know you've got an amazing book, and that's obviously your way of giving back and sharing and finding that bridge, as you said, between kind of the Daniel Goleman and the average man that wants to kind of learn about emotional intelligence. But have you got, like, is there any quote or is anything that you would like to say to my audience, if anyone's listening and maybe going through some form of feeling, a form of trauma or feeling that they're not listened to? What would you say to those people? What would you like to say to those people?
Well, I would say that, if you're not trauma, you're not feeling like you're listened to, find a group. I mean, for men, it's the Mankind Project, but there are groups out there that are going on where you can search them out and find where you can share your story, where you can share what's happened to you, and search that out and go for it. I mean, I've gone to groups even before the Mankind Project and support groups. There's nonprofit organizations that operate these groups, sometimes social service agencies, but they're very, very helpful. We all need to to release our emotions, to release our energy. So I would urge anybody, because the one thing it does is makes us, it normalizes our feelings. We realize we're not the only ones that are feeling that way. We're not alone. And to reach out, don't stay in isolation. Do the opposite of what we're urged to do now with the corona crisis. When this is over, reach out to others.
What's your feelings on the coronavirus right now? What's your feelings? What's the energy like in Canada? I've spoken to South Africans. I've spoken to Americans. I haven't actually spoken to any Canadians about it. What's going on your side, your end?
Well, we have in our country 454 cases now, but we're fortunate in a way. We're a big country and not heavily populated. We've been told to avoid social contact, to basically stay inside, you know, all groups of any kind. We've disbarred all the sporting facilities, recreation, they're closed, schools are closed. But there's fear. There's, of course, a lot of fear. I think the way we deal with that is in my men's group, too, that I go to, the Mankind Project, we're very active here. But, we're reaching out on social media, connecting, emailing each other and supporting each other and sharing our fear. The thing about fear is that if we express it, if we verbalize it, we put it out there, it doesn't have as much of a hold over us than if we just keep it inside. That's the way it is with all of our emotions. It's better to be able to express them. Put them out there. This way they don't have as much of a grip on us than if we share them with somebody else. And that's how we're coping with this. The people around me that I know, we're coping, sharing with others. So it's fearful, but I don't think there's people that have been hoarding things like toilet paper and sanitizer and cleaning out the shelves in grocery stores. But they tell us that, you know, if there's lots of supplies coming in, there's always people that, you know, panic and things like that. But, it hasn't come to the point yet where there's sort of a real crisis. I think our medical system is still coping very well because we don't have the high numbers. Hopefully we won't. Yeah. So we're hanging in there.
Yeah. So I kind of see it. It's almost like everything's coming crashing down. But the other side of that is, sometimes through that comes creativity and innovation, you know?
Yes.
Because it's almost like when you get to that point, everything has to crash, then sometimes, even like during recession and so forth, people have to get creative and resourceful in other ways to kind of cope. And I think as human beings, we've got incredible minds and we'll be able to cope with it. That's my standpoint on it. So I'm personally just trying to stay optimistic about it all, because my children going to school and coming home, that some of the things that they're hearing, I'm just saying it's okay, it's no, you know, no, everything's going to be all right. Because sometimes children, you know, they're infectious, aren't they? They pick up what other people are saying and so forth. So my job as a parent and leader as well is to just stay optimistic and to look at ways that we can, that I can adapt, you know, or you can adapt your business or adapt to make things work. Sometimes in crisis that's hard, but that's also the beauty of us as human beings, I feel. But that's beautiful. Thank you so much, Harvey, for sharing your story with me. It's a really powerful story. And I'm so happy to have you on the show today. And I just want to mention your website. So if anybody wants to learn a little bit more about Harvey's work with emotional intelligence, his website is, if you want to say, it's the other kind of smart. Is it .co or .uk or is it .com?
It's .com, Tanya.
.com. .com. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. And then go get the book from Amazon. I suppose you can buy it from Amazon, can't you? The Other Kind of Smart.
Yes, you can, certainly. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Well, thank you very much today.
And thank you, Harvey. Thank you, Tanya. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And from Taylor, the Communication Doctor, and Harvey Deutschendorf, adios. Brilliant. One of my takeaways from this show is simply that men need to talk. And
And when I say men need to talk, they need to talk emotionally. Harvey talked quite openly about mankind and the Mankind Project being his saviour, being his light, his place of openness. Now, his book is called The Other Kind of Smart, and within that book, he talks about emotional intelligence. Now, this language, emotional intelligence, is so important, and it's important for men to come together especially and speak their truth. Thanks for listening.